Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Conquering Through Alignment with God from our series, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Conquering Through Alignment with God. In Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Conquering the Mind, the Breeding Ground for Excuses, from our series, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Conquering the Mind, the Breeding Ground for Excuses.
Shook hands with somebody and touch your eyes or touch your face, right? You get one germ, and then what happens? That germ begins to what? Multiply. The next thing you know, you stuffed up. Next thing you know, your nose is running. Next thing you know, your chest is congested. And where did it come from? It came from a germ. It came from a germ that multiplied. And so we let these negative thoughts come into our mind. And when they go unchecked, what happens? They begin to multiply. And they affect our lives. Dr. Wayne Dyer, and again, this guy was a great philosopher, a great psychologist. You know, he quoted from the Bible a lot. He quoted from Jesus a lot. But I'm not sure he was a Christian. But I think this guy had a lot of insight into human behavior. And one of the things he said, mind viruses are when we get conditioned to believe in our limitations and what's not possible. After a while, we start really believing these things are true. People who have self-defeating behaviors for a long time, such as people who have been overweight since they were children, or people with long-time addictions actually believe there is no other alternative. So these excuses or these negative thoughts become mind viruses. So what mind virus do you have? What mind virus do you have? So we ask the question, where do these mind viruses come from? Now again, in Romans chapter 1, Paul lists, he runs down a laundry list of things about the person with the reprobate mind. But as we look in that list, we can find ourselves in there at some point. So that lets us know when those thoughts come to our mind that our minds have a virus. That when they come, when they pop up in there, they have a virus. And so where do those mind viruses come from? A couple places. One place they come is from a bad experience. If you had a bad experience, then it's possible if you don't get that under control, if you don't deal with it, it could become a mind virus. I know a guy who, when he was in high school, he was dating this young lady. And he fell in love. I mean, they were in love, heads over heels. And then she stepped out on him and told him that she didn't want to be with him anymore. Devastated him. I mean, again, you know, we're talking about puppy love, right? But still, he was devastated. And he vowed in his heart that he would never trust another woman. Wow. That germ, right, got in there. And what did it do? Because he didn't check it, it multiplied. You know, I'm glad to report that the brother got healed of that mind virus, got married, and has a good marriage. And so, but at one point it was a virus, and he let it grow, and he didn't try to check it. And so he had this philosophy that he couldn't trust any lady. Culture. You got to be careful of the culture because You can get mind viruses from the culture, the entertainment world, the government, Wall Street. As a matter of fact, there's a commercial that says this, or two commercials. One commercial says that if you are in debt, it's not your fault. And then there's another commercial. Now, again, I realize people have different thyroid problems and stuff like that, so I'm not going to blanket the whole statement. But there's another commercial, and you've probably seen it. It says that if you are overweight, it's not your fault. I'm glad to know that. So, you know, culture. And the one thing that got me as far as how they try to influence your mind, just think about this. Think about, man, this when I began to meditate and think on this, it absolutely blew me away. That businesses during the Super Bowl would pay $5 million for 30 seconds to influence your mind. Think about that. Think about that. $5 million for 30 seconds just to influence your mind. Man, that's why you have to be on guard. You got, oh man, I need to hurry up and get to the end of my message. I'm going to cover this. I'm skipping everything in between, and I'm going right to the end because we need to get to the end. Undisciplined thoughts. You have thoughts, negative thoughts come in your mind, and you don't check them, it's just like that virus. It just begins to grow and grow and grow and grow. Just think about how that, somebody might have did something to offend you, right? And the person might not even know they did it, right? But now you don't let that germ get into your mind, right? Now you driving home, it's multiplying just like that virus, right? You get home and you sitting there and it's still multiplying, right? It's still multiplying. And then before you know it, you got a full-blown mind virus cold. And that person don't even know what happened, right? And all you had to do was maybe go straighten it out. Maybe the person would apologize. Maybe they didn't know. You could make them aware of it. But because you didn't deal with that germ, that undisciplined thought, it got out of mind. Peers, the people that you hang around, they can give you mind viruses. So let me just share, right? So I'm sharing. Some people say, Pastor, you know, one of the problems, you're kind of too vulnerable sometimes. But if I can help somebody, man, that's what I want to do. All right, can I be honest with you? No, thank you. Let me move on. Right? You know where I got my viewpoint and ideas about sex? From on the street. From my partners. And so that's what I mean. And you know, they wasn't telling you to keep yourself pure until marriage. So what did I get from them? I got mind viruses, right? I got mind viruses. And those mind viruses grew. Thank God that I got saved. I thank the Lord that I got saved. But how many young men and women are listening to their peers about life and they're getting all type of mind viruses from their peers? And because they're going unchecked, that's Bill. You know what? Maybe that's the reason why things are like they are. Maybe that's the reason why. Because you got people listening to other people, who are ungodly, who are selfish, who are unrighteous, and they're listening to people tell them how to live life, and it's just. And they're friends. And their friends are not saying, for the most part, well, you know, my mom and dad told me this. There's some, you know, praise God that, you know, those of you who are in here, that's why I love Bethany, right? I love Bethany because I know those of you who are in here that you are telling the young people this, and so that they're going out. All right. But just think, most young people are getting their viewpoints from culture and from their peers. They're not getting it from the church. So even kids that are in the church, they come and they get exposed to it for a little while, and then they go right back to culture, and they go right back to peers. And sometimes, man, you know, that's why, man, you gotta pray that the Holy Spirit gets in these kids. You gotta pray that the Holy Spirit takes control of their lives, so that when they're hearing stuff in culture, when they're hearing stuff from their peers, that there's something inside of them, the Holy Spirit inside of them, and there's a flag that's going up. Woo, 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 woo! That's not right, that's not right, that's not right! You know, I've heard testimonies of people say that when they got away from school or from home, that they were tempted to do something wrong. They saw the face of their pastor or their parents, right? That, well, what was that? That was the Holy Spirit, Jack, right? That was the Holy Spirit that was doing that. And so, you know, we got to pray because these mind viruses are taking over. Parents and family. You know, there's some people that, you know, again, I've said this before from this pulpit. I've said it before from this pulpit. And, you know, I'm going to say it again, and that is, if you've had issues, like if you've been abused growing up, or, you know, some things have happened to you, that I don't minimize that at all. I do not minimize that. We have a biblical counseling ministry here, and I know the seriousness of that issue, so I don't minimize it. You need to get the help that you need. But I go right behind that, and I say this: how long do you continue to hold on to that? If your parents abused you when you were a child, you need to go get some help. You can't let that cripple you for the rest of your life. You can't let that render you unable for the rest of your life. That you have to get what you need to be that conqueror and to overcome that. I can stand here today, and I think I can say this with all confidence, and that is, God doesn't want you to continue to labor under the burden of something that happened to you when you were a child. He wants you to get the victory. He wants you to overcome. And so sometimes we can allow something that happened to us growing up to become a mind virus and take over our lives. Man, I need to get to the end of my message here. I tell you what. Let me do this. Let me hit, because there's just too much. There's too much left. And somebody say, yeah, man, you always do that. Then I got to come back next week, right? let me do this. Let me do this. And we'll finish with this right here. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, if you go to that next slide. Okay, so what happens? Is the mind becomes an unhealthy place, and it becomes a place of satanic influence. And Paul said, "Don't be aware, be aware of the mind games that Satan plays with you." In 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said, "There's mind games that Satan tries to mess with your mind, right? And then when he begins to mess with your mind because of these viruses, right?" Like he might not have put the virus there, but once it's there, then he's going to do all that he can to cause it to grow and multiply, all right? And so then what happens? Then what happens? This is what happens. It becomes a stronghold. It becomes a stronghold in your mind. And so, you know, if you got bad habits in your life, just think where it's at. It's become a stronghold in your mind. That's where it's at. You know, bad habits have become self-defeating attitudes. They are strongholds in your mind. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look what Paul says here. He says, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." The concept here is that of a stronghold. And in the Old Testament, you know, we see that there were strongholds. So if you look at the screen, that's a stronghold right there. What is a stronghold? So whenever you read in the Old Testament about a stronghold, now notice again, Paul uses this word in verse 4, casting down strongholds. So he uses the verse in reference to the mind. So we go back to the Old Testament, strongholds, right? And so we see that a stronghold consisted of, first of all, I know I'm, don't boo me out on this one. Don't boo me. But the first thing that the stronghold consisted of was a wall. That's the first thing that, if you want to have a stronghold, so whenever they started a city, you know, they established a stronghold. And so the first thing they did was build a wall around the city. Okay? Now, in the wall, they had towers. And these towers were places where they would put, they would call them men of strategy. And these men of strategy would look, and it would be, you know, these four, towers would be all around the wall so they could see in every direction. And whenever the enemy would come, they would make the people inside aware that the enemy was coming, and they would be prepared. And you know, in most circumstances, they couldn't penetrate the stronghold. All right. So Paul says that, you know, that there's strongholds in the mind. And in order to break that, to capture a stronghold, the first thing you had to do was you had to break down the walls. So that's why, you know, you see in these movies, when they're attacking the city, what's one of the first things they do? They get a what? A battering ram, right? A battering ram, because they're trying to break down the wall or part of the walls. And then what they would do is they would break the walls down, then they would go in and take all the people captive, right? And as they took them captive, if there were those individuals who didn't submit, right? Once they were captive and they didn't submit, they would kill them. They would execute them. Now, I'll tell you what. Paul is so masterful. I mean, as I read this, I said, Paul, go ahead with your bad self. I mean, Paul, look, let me just show you what he says. He says, first of all, he says, if you want to pull down the stronghold in verse 5, that you've got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You got to break down the walls. He said, you got to pull down the walls. You got to tear them down. You got to cast imaginations, mind viruses, negative things that are in your mind. He says that you got to cast them down. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God has a will for your life. God has something for you to do. God has goals. God has objectives. God has prosperity. And if there's something in between, Paul said, you got to tear them down. You got to tear them down. Casting down imaginations. You got to tear down the wall. What is it? What is it that's become a stronghold in your mind? You got to tear it down. And then notice, what's the next thing after they tore the walls down? They took captives. Look what he says here. And man, this is blowing me away. The way that Paul just masterfully does this. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the first thing you got to do, you got to tear down the wall. You got to tear it down. And then the next thing is that you have to take captives. Whatever your thought, whatever thought that is becoming entrenched in your mind, you got to take it captive. You got to bring it in. You just can't be running around letting your thoughts be flapping in the wind. You can't run around and let your mind be taken in by every wind of doctrine. You got to bring it. You got to bring it captive. If you have a problem with pornography, you got to cast it down and you got to bring it captive. You got to bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. If you got an issue with anger, if you got an issue with bitterness, if you got an issue with resentment, you got to cast it down and you got to bring it into obedience. You got to find scripture to go against whatever it is that you're struggling with. You got to find a verse to come against it. Otherwise, you're going to continue to allow it to be a stronghold in your life. And so he says here, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Tear down the wall, take the captives, and then notice what he says here. What's the third thing? You kill the disobedient, right? People that didn't submit and obey, they were executed. Look what he says in verse 6. And have a readiness to punish. Some translations say execute. To punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You got to execute that thought. You got to kill it. You got to kill it. You can't let that thought live. You got to starve it. Somebody say, well, how do you do that? You know, this thought comes to your mind, right? And you say, oh, God, I don't want to think that. Lord, I don't want to think it. Right? And you stop thinking it. Then all of a sudden it comes back again. Oh, man, I don't want to think that. And it keeps coming back. What do you got to do? You got to keep killing it. You got to keep killing it. And you got to keep killing it. You got to keep saying, no, I'm not going to think. And then you stop thinking about it. The problem is when you think about it, that virus begins to germinate and grow. And then the next thing you know, you got a full-blown virus in your life if you don't take care of it. He says, execute all disobedience. And you got to take control of your mind. It's as I said a couple of weeks ago. You are the one that's responsible for your life. Nobody else is going to take control of your mind for you to help you. Only you can take control of your mind and your thoughts and begin the process to heal if you have an unhealthy mind. And I think that there's a lot of people that do have unhealthy minds. If you're sitting there today and you're harboring a resentment or bitterness or anger, or if you're struggling with some type of lustful problem, then your mind is unhealthy. And you need to break down the walls, you need to take the people captive, and you need to execute the thoughts. You need to execute the thoughts.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Conquering Through Alignment with God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Conquering the Mind, the Breeding Ground for Excuses, you can contact us at encouragedinjesus.org and request Conquering the Mind, the Breeding Ground for Excuses. That's encouragedinjesus.org and request Conquering the Mind, the Breeding Ground for Excuses. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, More Than Conquerors. When you visit our website, encouragedinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit encouragedinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.